Well, you like looking up at the stars? You like looking through telescopes? Oh, I've got the guy for you to talk about that this morning, as I'm joined by UConn Assistant Professor in Residence, Matt Guthrie, with some big news from the University of Connecticut for the astronomy types with the new observatory/planetarium, the East Road Observatory. It's been refurbished and is almost ready to go. Matt, good morning. This is exciting news, especially for people in the physics department at UConn. Thanks for coming in for this morning. Give a little background on this. They had an observatory, and then it kind of fell into disrepair, and now it's back.
Yeah, so this observatory, and actually the planetarium and observatory are completely different buildings. They're separated by about 2 miles. So, and my position here actually is initially totally unrelated to both of those. I'm just a teaching professor, and when I came here, I came during COVID, and it was not a great experience. We were all teaching online. The first time I ever saw the UConn campus was when I moved here, and the first building that I ever saw was the planetarium.
And by the way, is it tough teaching astronomy virtually?
I'm not even an astronomy teacher, but yes, it's tough teaching anything virtually, and I can only imagine that astronomy is much more difficult. I'm sure there are some things that make it easier when you're online and you can just bring up an image and show it to your class, and you know what they're seeing, hopefully, but...
So you come during the pandemic, and What was your first time seeing the East Road Observatory? And by the way, before we get to that, we probably ought to clarify, you mentioned the difference in the two.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people on the UConn campus have seen the one just south of North Eagleville Road, right by Swan Lake.
Right.
I'm guessing most people listening now don't even know that there was an observatory on East Road, which is about 2 miles south, just off of 195 to the right as you're heading north.
Yeah. So the planetarium, that has been basically a fixture of the campus since 1955 when it was built by the provost. He thought that it was important that a research and teaching university had a planetarium. It was the first planetarium in the state, and since then, it's been in use. It was equipped with a pretty rudimentary, kind of a cheap planetarium projector, where it was like a big bulb that was about a foot and a half in diameter, and it had a tiny, super dim light in the middle, and that bulb had just little holes in it, where it would rotate, and those little holes let just a little bit of light out, and they would show on the screen as stars. In the 50s, that was like state-of-the-art planetarium technology, and the planetarium was kept in that state for over 50 years, I think, and since Cynthia Peterson retired, the planetarium kind of it just fell out of use. So I came here about 4 years after her retirement. I saw the planetarium and I said, "Wow, this place has a planetarium. It can't be all that bad." But I didn't really think about it. I was teaching full time, and it was kind of in the back of my mind, but I didn't really have time to do anything with it. And about a few months after I got my full-time position here, I started asking around about it, and people were just saying, "Oh, I don't know. We haven't ever used it." And that just seemed weird to me. So I kept bugging people about it, and one of your previous guests, John Trump, said that I probably would be able to try to refurbish it if I could. And that's also seemed weird to me, because why would it need to be refurbished? It just it's a planetarium. How bad could it be? So I went November in 2022. I visited with our department's academic assistant, I think is his official position, but I just call him our wizard. Dave Perry he's been at UConn for a long time, decades, and I think he's been in the physics department for also that long. He was Cynthia Peterson's office mate for a few years after her retirement when she was emeritus, and he just knows everything about the facilities, and if you need something done, he can get it done for you. So he took me to the planetarium. We went in, and I understand why John said that it would need to be refurbished, because it was just like kind of a storage facility for old astronomy equipment. And it was a little bit sad to see the state of it. Like, the projector didn't work. The lighting system in the planetarium was just didn't work. The paint was peeling. The floor was like just very dusty.
Were there critters in there?
Yes, definitely. I didn't see any of them, but I saw evidence of them. So
we know what that means.
Yeah. There were leaks in the dome, so water was getting in, and just a lot of non. It clearly hadn't been kept up in several years. So I talked to our astronomy and astrophysics faculty members about it, and they said, yeah, if you have time, go for it. And our previous department chair, Barry Wells, he really encouraged me to take this on because I had a little bit of free time, and I care about this enough to actually see it through. So I wrote a letter to the previous College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Julie Wade. She left in 2023, but I think one of the previous things, or one of the last things that she did before she left, was she read our letter and she said that this is worth doing and gave us a little bit of money to fix it up. So we bought a new projector. We've been working with UConn facilities to fix all of the structural issues. I think they were trying to patch some of the holes in the dome to make sure the water wasn't getting in when it rained, and that didn't work very well. So I think they just went through and caulked every seam in the entire roof. So that took a while. It took a month and a half, I think.
Now, what's the status now of the East Road Observatory, and will it be available for public shows in the near future?
So, the observatory, that's a totally different story, but it's also kind of similar in that I learned about it, I didn't think too much about it, and then someone said, hey, you could fix this place up. So, I heard about it from the same person that our physics department wizard, Dave Perry. He told me about this telescope because he knew that I was interested in astronomy. He showed me some pictures, and it was in the same state. There were several squirrels living in it. I think there were more spiders in that building than I had ever seen in my life. And the telescope itself is... it's an amazing machine. It's a 16-inch telescope that was designed in 1978, I believe, by a company in Massachusetts. And it was the same professor, Cynthia Peterson, built it as, I think, her first big project when she was hired here. So she got a small grant from the National Science Foundation, and the university matched the funds to build a professional research-grade observatory. And then it was in use for about 20 years. And then after Hubble launched, I think she thought that it wasn't worth maintaining because the data and the pictures that we were getting from Hubble were so amazing that it wasn't worth the extra effort. And it was shuttered in the mid-2000s or mid-90s. I'm not quite sure on the timeline there. But I also was encouraged by my department chair to take this on. And we had a cosmic stroke of luck when some random guy emailed our department chair. The department chair forwarded the message to me, and it seemed like it was... So this was Alan Hall. He is a local telescope builder and an award-winning telescope designer. He said that he wanted to donate a telescope to us, and I said, hey, check it out. He seems legit. And so I was talking to him. We still don't have a place for his telescope that he wanted to donate, but he came with us to tour the old East Road Observatory, and he said that it was a lost cause. He said that there's no use in doing anything with this because it's the state of it is it's so bad. But about a week later, we were taking it apart, and we just never stopped. We took everything in that building completely apart. And cleaned it and repaired it, recoated the mirror inside of the telescope, and now it works incredibly well.
And you had your first practice run, and it went well, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. So we have, I would say, officially reopened the telescope in October last year. We've been taking small groups out. There's a little bit of a difficulty in the placement of the telescope because in the 60s or in sorry not in the 60s in the 70s this was an empty cow field, and the professor Cynthia Peterson placed this telescope there because there was nothing there. Since then, the agricultural department has inherited the land, and they have a research farm. So
we talk about it a lot, the Yukon Plant Science Research Farm.
Plant Science Research Farm, exactly. So professors' entire livelihoods depends on the research that's done there, and understandably, that department is a little bit, I think they're uneasy about having a lot of people there. So we've had small groups, about 10 people in total, and twice a month we go out there, but it's small. People contact me. They say that they're interested in going out. I find a good night, and then I suggest that, and we go back and forth a little bit, making sure that schedules work out. But
is the biggest issue for you right now the access road to get there off of East Road?
Right. So that access road, that's how people used to get to the observatory, and since then, in the 20 years or so that people have ever used it, it's been completely overgrown. It is a little two-track road, so it's the ground is well packed, I think. But it's going to take some money to reopen the gate and get the ground in a shape where cars can travel on it again. That would be a big help in reopening the observatory and making it more publicly available, because then we could be able to separate it from the plant science farm.
And you've ordered 31 seats for the East Road Observatory.
We ordered seats for the planetarium.
And are they still stuck in customs?
Yeah, so I got an email yesterday that says they're at the New York port, and sometime soon, they'll be shipped to us in Connecticut. I don't know how long it's going to take to get them through customs, but it's soon.
Now, I need a quick delineation here of the difference here. I just got mixed up by it myself.
Yeah.
Of the planetarium, that's what's on campus by Swan Lake.
Right.
And the East Road Observatory, 2 miles south of UConn. The programs and facilities you have at each of those, they sound different.
Yeah, they're very different. So a planetarium is, a modern planetarium is a big screen that you look up, and it's supposed to be an immersive, like 360 degree video screen. An observatory is you use a telescope to look at real objects. And the purposes are different. You can't use an observatory when it's raining, which has been a big problem for us recently. You can use a planetarium whenever you want, as long as it's working.
But the observatory also, not just rain, clouds, too.
Clouds, yeah, like, clouds are a big problem.
Probably wouldn't have worked too well earlier this week when it was cloudy.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what's the best thing you've seen so far through this telescope, the 16-inch Schmidt-Cassegrain Model 117 telescope on a German equatorial mount made in 1978 in Waltham, Mass.?
Yeah, so it's so hard to say, but...
It's like picking your best kid.
Yeah. We've had some amazing nights. So the first time I ever saw a nebula with my own eye was through this telescope. It's called the Ring Nebula in Lyra, and it's called a planetary nebula. And what happens when a normal, like a main sequence star dies, like our star, is it ejects a bunch of helium into space. And that helium is pretty hot, so it emits light. And the Ring Nebula is, it's kind of like an oval to us. It looks like an oval. It's like a faint blue, with a little bit of red, and when you look at it through this telescope, it looks like it's not even real. It's like a smoke ring just flew in front of the telescope. But it changed me. It was like seeing something that looks completely foreign, but it's real because you're looking at it.
I think the general public wants to know, Matt, when can they go and see a planetarium show at the UConn Planetarium now that things have been refurbished?
We're working as hard as we can to get shows up and running as soon as possible. We have already had a show, and that was kind of a test run. There was I was approached by the Mid-Atlantic Planetarium Society. The president of the society was holding a summer camp at UConn, and she said that she heard that we were rebuilding our planetarium, and she wanted to end her summer camp with a planetarium show. So I said, of course, you can have at it. And it was kind of interesting because it was a summer camp for blind and visually impaired students, and I thought, I had no idea how to run a show for a blind student. So I had to see it. So I did my best to make sure it would happen. I had a grad student helping me. She met with the summer camp leader, and it turns out that she had been running the Boston Planetarium for like 30 years. So she had a lot of experience doing this, and it was amazing to see how she described the room for the students. She was able to run the show very well, and she took us on an exploration of some constellations. She explained what a nebula is and a galaxy, and like seamlessly went through these different examples. And for not everybody in the group was completely blind, but for those people, she had a special book that she wrote that had Braille and 3D relief pictures that they could follow along with the show on their own. A lot of people had a little bit of sight, and it was, I think, a perfect first show for us. So we have the capability, but a lot of the people were sitting on the floor. A lot of the people were sitting in these 50-year-old seats that are not in very good condition. And
that will be replaced.
All of those things are going to be replaced. We have carpeting that's being installed right now, and I'm hopeful that that will be completed next week. We have our machinist in the physics department is building a completely new stand for the projector out of like rolled iron and like aluminum, and it looks like an. Have you ever seen 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Yeah, hell.
So it looks like the obelisk that starts the story. So it looks really cool. Also, it's going to be in a completely dark room, so you're not going to be able to see how cool it looks. But all of this, before we can have public shows, we need things like seats, which are being delivered now. I don't know when they'll get through customs, but they'll get here eventually.
Now, so, Birdie told me that the new projector came with 100,000 pre-made shows.
Yeah.
That you might be having planetarium shows that go on long after you're gone from UConn.
So that 100,000 shows it's a little bit of a... It's a consequence of how the projector is, it projects videos. So with a traditional planetarium projector, it's like what I described before. It's a light, and enclosing that light is some kind of shape with a bunch of holes in it, and those holes rotate to show stars. This projector is connected to a computer, and it's running a live simulation of the universe. So you can do a normal planetarium show where you set the coordinates to Storrs, Connecticut, and you say that you want to show this time and date. It'll run a live simulation of the atmosphere. So it'll show you when sunset happens, and the stars will start to come out when they should based on the amount of sunlight that's available.
And it knows the moon phase.
And it knows the moon phase. But it does things like, just on a whim, like a week after the eclipse. I was in the planetarium and I was just trying to learn how to use the software. I set the coordinates to Buffalo, New York.
Which was
in totality. Yeah. I set the time and date to April 28th around 1:30, and the sky starts to dark. And I let the time go a little bit, and it gets darker and darker until there's complete totality. It simulates the corona that you can't see unless there's a total eclipse. And then that happens for about 3 minutes. And then the other phase, the reverse totality happens, and it starts to get lighter.
By the way, off topic a little bit, you being so much into astronomy, you're helping restore both of these planetarium, the Observatory of UConn. Where were you on the day of the total solar eclipse?
So I was in St. Catharines, Ontario, which is just north of the waterfall.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah. And it was a little bit cloudy there, but...
Was that part of the totality?
It was in...
So you went there for totality.
Yeah. I went there to see Niagara Falls and take a little vacation with my wife and see the eclipse.
And tell me what you saw.
So, if you've ever seen a total eclipse, you know that it's impossible to describe. But
best I got was 99% on my birthday, day after my birthday in Paris.
Yeah.
But, you know, and back then they didn't have all those eclipse glasses that were widely accessible this year. I didn't feel safe looking at it, but okay. Man, it sure got dark.
Yeah. So even the difference between 99% and 100% totality, there's no comparison. What I saw was, because it's a little bit cloudy, the atmospheric effects were incredibly pronounced. What I didn't remember when I saw it in 2017 in Nashville was there is a 360 degree sunset, which only happens when you're in the path of totality, where the light comes in at just the right angle all around you to make this beautiful red-orange glow, and all of the street lights turn on. We could see Venus.
In the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day. The clouds were covering up the corona, but in a little bit of when there was a clear patch, you could hear when it was going to happen, because a little bit south of us, or a little bit, I guess, east of us, or was it west? I don't know. My cardinal directions were messed up. But just a little bit farther away, there was a big group of people, and they would start cheering. And then about 5 seconds later, we would get to see a little peek of the corona, and it was amazing. So that was my experience.
Quick version, my version of that eclipse story was I was in Phoenix for the Final Four. That's the other side of the totality path from what we saw here. And it was about 70%, and I actually walked about a block away from the hotel, right outside the Footprint Center, which is where the Phoenix Mercury and the Phoenix Sun play, and it was a nice plaza there, and I had my little eclipse glasses. And it was, I think it was about 74% totality there, but it never got dark. It was just a sunny day. You get the glasses, you can see a big chunk of the sun that's gone. Let me give you a hypothetical case here of the big telescope, the 16-inch Schmidt-Cassegrain Model 117 telescope that will be at the East Road Observatory, that is at the East Road Observatory. Does it have the capability to track moving objects, such as the International Space Station?
So, yes. A big upgrade that we made to the telescope mount was putting a modern a servo controller. So it interfaces with the motors that control the telescope mount and connects that to a computer. So when we have it calibrated perfectly, we're able to track basically any object in the sky. We can track satellites, we can track the moon, we can look at galaxies, we can perfectly track planets, and we haven't tried it yet because our calibration isn't perfect, but the space station moves at about the limit of the speed of the telescope. So it'll swing around a few degrees per second, which is about the same speed as the space station as it moves throughout the sky.
By the way, tonight and tomorrow night happens to be clear. There'll be two good viewings. Tonight, 9:39 and 9:44, it'll be 55 degrees above the horizon. That's going to be fairly high. And then tomorrow night, 84 degrees, meaning almost directly overhead, and that will be from 8:50 to 8:57. So a little astronomy talk along with Matt Guthrie here, assistant professor in residence, the Department of Physics at the University of Connecticut, talking about the refurbished planetary and observatory, two different buildings at the University of Connecticut. And both of those buildings will eventually be renamed to honor the late Cynthia Peterson?
Yeah. So one of the things that I very quickly learned when I started this refurbishing process for the planetarium was Cynthia's fingerprints are all over that place. And she ran that, she ran planetarium shows. She used it as part of her astronomy curriculum. She was the outreach person for our department for 40 years at least. And when she passed, there was a big vacancy left, and we want to make sure that we honor her and keep that as part of the history of the department and the university.
There will be an upgrade to the mount of the telescope with a computerized go-to system.
Yeah, that's already there. That was the servo controller. So if you want to talk about something that's much more exciting, I think, we have plans to connect the telescope to the planetarium. We don't have internet access.
They're 2 miles apart.
We don't have internet access yet, but we are hoping to run live streams from the
telescope.
By the way,
no internet. Is that because it's on East Road and stores and it's sort of a little off the beaten path?
It's we're working with UConn IT to make to somehow get internet there, but there's no. We barely have electricity. It was put in the 70s and hasn't really been maintained since.
It's amazing. You can see the Crab Nebula, but you can't get internet access in Storrs, Connecticut.
Well, yeah. The plant science farm has internet. But
Right next door.
Yeah, getting a connection through the woods is hard. We don't have line of sight. Running a cable is an animal would just eat it on the first day. So it's not trivial. And we've been working with IT to fix this problem, but it's been a process. We don't really need internet yet, but when we do have it, I'm going to run. Do you know what Twitch is?
Never heard of it.
Okay, so Twitch is this online streaming site where people usually they stream themselves playing games or like watching TV or something. I'm gonna run a Twitch stream that is a live stream from our telescope, and it's going to be like a live observation night where people can chat and say, hey, do you want to look at this thing? And I'll be like, okay, put in those coordinates.
Matt, tell me about the academic benefits of these refurbishments of the planetarium and the observatory, two different buildings. Will students at the University of Connecticut, maybe physics students, maybe your physics students, will they actually have classroom sessions within these facilities to help them in their coursework?
So for the planetarium, absolutely, yes. We very deliberately designed our refurbishing to include enough space for at least one lab session for an astronomy lab. So that's from the start, we were thinking about that. For the observatory, we're not quite sure how it's going to fit into the curriculum, but I have a bunch of grad students working with me. I have a few undergrads working with me. And over the summer, we had some undergraduate engineering students run a summer project where they tried to image a cluster of stars and a nebula, the ring nebula that I was talking about, and it worked out. So we don't quite know how people would get credit for working on it, but there's a distinct possibility that it'll be a central part of the astronomy curriculum in the future.
Matt, do you have a vision in your mind for what the first one, two, or three public shows will be once you begin public? And I might add that it's a small facility. Not a lot of people can pack in there, but you're going to make them eventually open to the public. What are your first shows going to be?
That's a great question. And so when I'm talking with the grad students that are helping me at the planetarium, we have astrophysics backgrounds, and we think about we want to show galaxies that are from the beginning stages of the universe, and we want to talk about things like what are the stages of a star's life cycle, and then we have to think, okay, now what would a normal person want to see in a planetarium show? Because those are very advanced. Those are things that people just don't know about in the common knowledge. So we're starting off what are the constellations of the zodiac? that's a common thing that people know about. But also, what are some less well-known things about these constellations? A really cool detail from this planetarium projector in the software, they have different constellations for different cultures around the world. The constellations that are visible to us are not the same constellations that are visible to people in Australia. And people in China have different names for constellations. They have different constellations, period. So one of the shows that we're thinking about is an exploration of different cultures and how constellations look compared to where you grew up.
I like it. A lot of good things going on with the observatory and the planetarium at the University of Connecticut, the East Road Observatory, 2 miles south of campus, and the UConn Planetarium right by Swan Lake. Matt Guthrie, assistant professor in residence in the Department of Physics, giving us the update on the good news. I want to also thank Professor Jonathan Trump, who's been here a couple of times talking about his major role in the James Webb Space Telescope that has sent back some phenomenal pictures as well. Matt, good to meet you, and looking forward to getting the updates on what's going on with the public shows as well at the University of Connecticut. Thanks for coming.
It's great to be here, Wayne.